And I want to start with this first truth, that as a church grows, so will the opportunities to serve others as Jesus does. That as a church grows, so will the opportunities to serve others as Jesus does. I'm going to pause there. And if you have a Bible, if you'll go to Titus chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, please take one this morning off our back table as a gift from our church. I used this language a couple of weeks ago, but I'm using this language of Jesus working and doing, because that is the theme and the thesis of Acts, is that Jesus is continuing to work, and He is working in our day, but He works by His Spirit through His people. And so the work that Jesus does, He does through us, through all of you who are a believer. And so as a church is growing, which is what we're seeing happening in Acts, there are going to be more opportunities for us to do the kind of work Jesus does, to love people and care for them and meet their needs. If you think about a church is growing, that means people are being added to the number of the church. Well, when someone is saved, all their problems aren't resolved and fixed. So as they come into the church, they bring with them their personality. They bring with them their difficulties, their sin. They bring with them the trials of life. And as they are added to our number, the body of believers in the church, we are not indifferent to those things. We're not supposed to be indifferent to the suffering around us, the needs of the people around us, spiritual and physical. We are called to care for them as the body of Christ, because that's what Jesus did. You remember the picture of Jesus preaching on the side of the hill, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there listening to His teaching. And it got to be toward the evening, and His disciples came and they said, "Jesus, a lot of these people are hungry. Send them home. They need to go and eat." And Jesus said, "You feed them." He wasn't indifferent to their need. He wasn't indifferent to their physical craving of food. He looked at His disciples and said, "You do it. I'm going to provide for you so that you can feed them. So you feed them." And that's what He did. And we're also going to have more opportunities to serve, because as a church grows, so do the gifts in the church. As people are added and they become believers in the church, they are promised spiritual gifts. All of you, gifts are in you from the Spirit, and you are to use them to serve the church. So there are going to be opportunities that will happen in the church as the church grows. I want you to look at Titus chapter 2 for just a moment. Look at verse 11. We're going to look through verse 14. Paul writes to Titus, and remember that part of Paul writing to Titus was he left him on this island so that he could set things in order and he could establish churches there. So these instructions that he is giving is to someone who's helping to oversee and start churches. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." We pause there and say, "Thank you, Lord, for grace, the grace of God that has appeared in the midst of our darkness, in the midst of our sin, and the grace of God that offers to all people salvation." But then we also have to keep going, because, church, that's not all that grace does. Grace doesn't simply or profoundly save us from our sins, but grace does more than that. Verse 12, "The grace of God trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled and upright and godly lives in this present age." So the grace of God, we sang earlier of freedom. The freedom that we have in Christ to be forgiven of our sins isn't so that we can sin more. It's so that we can be trained to live upright, godly, holy lives. Not because we're living into a standard that we might be saved, but because we have been saved, now we have new hearts and new affections. So we want to be holy people, godly people. That's why we've been focusing a lot in our prayer times at Rely and on Sunday morning and even at the beginning of our service, confessing sin. Because it is a needful thing for the people of God to remember that grace trains us to renounce ungodliness in our lives. We need to think about that. Think about our sin and confess that and repent corporately and individually. But look at what else. Verse 13. All of this is happening while we wait for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So we live these upright lives as we're waiting. One day, we know that we will see Jesus face to face, and we're waiting for that moment. And while we wait for that moment, we look to Him, verse 14, who gave Himself for us. And look at why Jesus gave Himself for us. To redeem us from lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. That's a whole series of sermons right there. If you would, take these passages this week, make a note, study Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Remind yourself that Jesus has come to redeem us from lawlessness, to purify us in His image, and to make us zealous for good works. And this is where we're going back to serving and the opportunities for ministry. Jesus was zealous to do good. He was zealous to do good works. And if Christ is in us, we will also be zealous for those things, to do good works. And so as a church grows, so will the opportunities to serve others as Jesus does. I want to emphasize a couple of things to you here. There are certain ministries that we have in this church that the leaders of this church have helped establish. That we just feel like as a church, God has called us to these things. And so part of what we've been doing recently in showing you these ministry videos is to show you ways that you can get plugged in and serve in some of those ministries that the Lord has led us into. We need them. You enjoy them, right? We want to be a church that shows hospitality, so we have a ministry where people can greet others when they walk in the door. Don't you like to be greeted when you go somewhere? Don't you like to be greeted walking into a church? So we should give to that. We should minister to each other that way. Isn't it nice to walk into a place and if you like coffee, to have some coffee or some snacks and just kind of feel at home? We have a team that does that. You know, it's nice to have an overhead or a microphone. And so we have a team that brings that together and works behind the scenes for that. We have always wanted to give food to our community, so we have a ministry and a team that does that. And we present it to you because without people, those ministries can't function. We don't just wait for others to do those things. We question, okay, God, where do you want me to be? And so those ministries are important, but here's where I want to mention to you and emphasize to you that sometimes there's a gap, and sometimes we get tripped up. We've maybe been trained a little bit that we go into a church and we find out what their ministries are and we see, okay, well, where do I fit? Where do I plug in? Do I go to this ministry or that ministry or this ministry? And what I want to emphasize to you is that ministry in the church, lasting, healthy ministry, comes when the Spirit of God in His people reveal needs in the church and raise up people to minister to those needs. Let me put it another way. You don't need your pastors to tell you everything you should do in ministry. You don't need to wait for us to create a ministry in the church for you to get plugged into. You need to ask God, what are my gifts? What are the needs in the church around me? How would you have me use those gifts? How would you have me use the gifts that you've given me to serve in my community? Ask that of God. And when God gives you direction, come to the ministers, the pastors of the church, and say, this has been on my heart. This thought, it won't leave me. Would you give me counsel? Would you pray with me? Do you think this is something that maybe our church would be interested in? The last two ministries that have been formed in this church that I think are very healthy and bearing fruit, the The ministry to youth girls, the ministry to a nursing home in Trustful, those ministries started in the heart of a church member who had this thought from the Lord, I see a need and I would like to serve. And they come in and they came to the pastors and they said, I'm thinking about this. I have a heart for this. What do you think? And we prayed with them and we talked with them and then eventually presented it to the church. And sure enough, other people joined them. And those ministries have been working and producing fruit, bearing fruit. And I want to emphasize to you, that is how I believe ministry in the church should operate. Don't wait on us to lay something before you. And if we don't lay it before you, to say, well, I don't know. I don't have a place to fit in. I don't really have a place to serve. Ask God, why did you put me at Agape? What are my gifts? How am I supposed to serve this church? I want to double down on things I've said before. That isn't just for a season of your life. We are gifted to build up the body. We are gifted to reach the community. We are gifted to serve. That is not a season. It's not a time. It's not just for an age. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, it is for you right now. And I want you to pray and ask the Lord, what would you have me do? And if a thought keeps coming back to you over and over, come and talk to us about that. Because that may be the next ministry that the Lord is birthing at Agape. And it may be from you and in your heart. So as a church grows, so will and should the opportunities to serve others the way Jesus does. What a beautiful thing that is. Don't take this preaching and let it be a burden. Think about the gift it is to serve Jesus. That He has formed you and created you in a particular way with particular gifts and placed you in a particular place and said, serve that place and serve those people. What an amazing gift that is. We get so enamored by so many things. Let that be the thing that captures our heart more than anything. That we are called to serve Christ. And He lives in us and serves through us. As a church grows, so will the opportunities to serve others as Jesus does. But with those opportunities will also come challenges. With those opportunities will come challenges. There are no perfect ministries. There are no perfect labors and workings in the church that will not be without difficulties and challenges. And that's what we see happening in Acts. The church in Acts is growing. The leaders in the church are not, I don't believe, directing all of the ministry. That the people of God, as the Spirit of Christ is in them, they're seeing needs in the community and they want to meet them. One of the needs they have seen is widows. And they want to take care of the needy and the widows among them, so they have started this program of daily distribution of goods to serve those who need, who are in need in the community. Those who did not have husbands and family to be able to provide for them. We don't know anything else about it other than that. It was directed by the Spirit. And so it's a good thing. It's a good thing that this ministry is taking place. But as the disciples are increasing in number and as people are coming into the church, we have a challenge. A complaint arises. Hellenistic Jews. And these are simply Jews that they had lived in Jerusalem, but they had moved away to live in other cities. And they had learned to speak Greek in the language of the Greeks. And now in their older age, they've moved back to Jerusalem. And they're living there and they speak the language of the culture. And in the Jewish culture, some of the Pharisees saw them as second-class citizens, Jews who had left and then come back. But now they've been saved and they've joined the church. And so there's these Hellenistic Jews, but also there's the Hebrew Jews, those who have just remained in Jerusalem, and they too have been saved and they've been brought into one church together. And so there's a complaint now by the Hellenistic Jews and those widows who are saying, we're being neglected in the daily distribution. The people who are distributing the goods and in this ministry, they're showing favor to the Jews who have lived here the whole time and speak the language, and they're overlooking us and neglecting us. Now, here's the reality. We don't know if that's true or not. Maybe that was actually happening and it was a mistake. Maybe it was a misunderstanding. They thought that was happening when it really wasn't. This is not a attack by the enemy, although the enemy could use something like this to bring division. This is just a problem that is arising out of ministry. And church, when we set our strength, our minds, our hearts, and our energy to do ministry with one another and for one another, challenges will come up. There will be misunderstandings. There will be mistakes that are made. And we have to be ready to love and forgive and speak truth and love to one another and deal with those. We have to be ready to deal with them in a healthy way. The old cliche is true. Ministry is messy. You're going to get your hands dirty, your feet dirty. There are going to be times where you're trying to do good and people will complain. Sometimes they will complain rightly because you've made a mistake. Sometimes they will complain unjustly. You've done nothing. But we have to be ready to deal with that. We have to know that's part of ministry. And that's why we have to remember we are serving Jesus. We're serving Him. We serve at His pleasure. He is working in us to make us zealous for good works. If I'm here out of any motivation other than serving Christ, that will show. And it probably won't last. Because there are times where I will be disappointed. And there are times where I will disappoint you. But the reason that we keep going in the ministry that we have is because it's from Jesus. If you're serving for yourself, if you're serving for the pleasure of people, if you're serving to be seen, it's really, really, really going to disrupt you when you are challenged in ministry and you face difficulties. But if you're serving Christ, you're going to keep going because you know it's from Him. In your notes, for ministry to be healthy and lasting, the church needs mature, godly leaders who practice delegation and mentoring. For ministry to be healthy and lasting, the church needs mature, godly leaders who practice delegation and mentoring. So here comes the complaint. In verse 2, the 12 apostles summon the full number of the disciples. So they get the church together. And they say, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this responsibility. Now, one of two things has happened here. Either the apostles were already in charge of the daily distribution, and part of the reason that it's not going so well is they are stretched really thin. They're trying to preach. They're trying to pray. They're trying to do the work of the apostle and do the daily distribution. And they simply say, this is not working. We can't do it all. And we can't give up preaching the word. So it's time to bring up other leaders. Or someone came to them and said, you guys need to do this. It is not going well. Larry and Curly and Mo have been running the daily distribution and it is just not working. We've got all kind of complaints. We got all kind of issues. The church is going to fall apart. The ministry isn't going to work anymore. Everything's going to cease. You need to do this. And the apostles say, no, we can't give up preaching and praying and serving in that way to do this, so we're going to bring up more leaders. Either way, the apostles recognized that the fix for these ministry issues was godly leaders. There needed to be godly leaders. Now, we get from this, because the word serve that is used here, serve tables, that is not a demeaning phrase. It means meet physical needs, meet practical needs. And that word serve there is diakonos. It's where we get the word deacon, deaconess. It is not said here that these seven men were put into an office. This is not necessarily the deacon office here. It's not mentioned in the scripture. That's what this is. But this is likely, very likely, where that pattern came from later in the church, of setting aside people in local churches who would be ministers, or deacons and deaconesses. But what the apostle said is, we need godly leaders. We need leaders who are going to step forward, step up, and who are going to lead. So we see delegation. The first step is delegation. Let me tell you from someone who probably deals with this in my own personality. Sometimes delegation is hard, because I'll be honest with you, I sometimes have the attitude of, I'll just do it. I'll just do it. I want to make sure it gets done. I'll just handle it. And I can, just being real transparent with all of you, I can have that attitude of, I want to make sure it's done right, so I need to do it. All right, little OCD there, little control issue, okay? And so that happens. But I'll tell you what also happens. Sometimes, and I don't really feel this here, I don't believe. If I do, I put the pressure on myself, but there is sometimes that idea of, well, I have to do it because I'm the pastor. Like, I have to be involved in every meeting. I have to be at every small group. I have to be in every decision that's made, because that's what's expected of me. If I don't do those things, then people will think that I don't love them, don't care about them. The apostles knew, though, they had to avoid both of these things. They had to realize we can't do it all. And they had to realize we shouldn't do it all. And we're going to delegate. Because God hasn't called a superman to the church to do all the work. The pastors and the teachers are equipping the saints for works of ministry. That's what the scriptures say. So the ministry needs to be done from people in the church who are being raised up as leaders. So we have to delegate. If you're a leader in this room, or you are one day going to be a leader, you have to learn delegation. You have to learn the art of delegation, because you can't delegate too soon to somebody who's not ready. But you also can't keep it all to yourself. Ministry will never grow. If you don't teach others and help delegate so they can learn, then what's going to happen in 5 years and 10 years and 15 years? Who's going to do the ministry? So you have to delegate, but you have to do more than delegate. You have to mentor. You have to train people. You have to teach them. You have to bring people alongside of you and say, I want to mentor you and teach you and train you and help you, so that you can learn how to do this, so that you can minister. Because you're a leader. You're the one who's going to do this. You're going to be doing this in the future. I want you to learn what I have learned. And you may, as a leader, you may think, I've got a lot to give. And as a leader, you may think, well, I don't even know what I'm doing, so how am I going to train someone else? But if you're in that position, you have a responsibility to mentor. And I will also say, if you're in this room and you want to be a leader, you have the responsibility to put yourself in a position to be mentored. When I came to this church, I was so blessed that when we came here and we began to get plugged in, I knew the first week I was here, this is where I wanted to be. And I talked to Allison, and she felt like we were home. We actually made ourselves wait a few weeks to join the church because we wanted to just make sure. But we knew. And then I began to feel called to ministry. I began to feel like the Lord was working in me. And I was so blessed that there was a man here who pastored this church who is willing to invest in me. And he wasn't just willing to invest in me. He was willing to put time and energy into it. And he had a busy life. And he had a young family. And sometimes he had to come up with creative ways. If he saw we were going to be going to the same place, a men's retreat or downtown to feed the homeless, he would let me ride with him so we could talk. He would find times to take me out to lunch and sometimes buy me lunch so that we could talk. And he could invest in me and share with me about ministry and pastoring and difficulties and challenges and joys and those things. At one point, he invited me to come to his house every morning, I think 4 days a week, at 7 a.m. to work out. Because every morning, he would work out in his basement at 7 a.m. So he said, "You want to come and work out with me?" So I would get up and go to his house and work in his basement. Work out in his basement. And we would talk about the Bible as we worked out. We would talk about ministry. He found a way to plug me into his life. And the thing is, I don't even do ministry the way he does. Like over time, the Lord has taught me and I've developed in the way that I do things. And it really doesn't look like how he did it. The wisdom that he was giving me was principles that I needed to know, biblical principles and ideas that were going to form and shape my heart and who I was, not just teaching me the way he did things, but teaching me how to listen to the Spirit and how to deal with people in a loving way. And it took a leader being willing to do that for me to receive wisdom. But it also took me being willing to be mentored. I had to be willing to ride with him. I had to be willing to go to lunch. I had to be willing to get up at a really, really early time. And I was in a bigger night owl then than I am now. But I had to be willing to get up and sacrifice because I wanted something that he had, wisdom. I wanted to know what he knew. When the apostle said, "Choose people from among you," they gave three qualifications of these leaders. One, they need to have a good reputation among the people. Some of you right now, listen, you want to be a leader one day? God hasn't given you that opportunity yet? Work on your reputation. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Love other people. That will be recognized. You will build a good reputation among people. They need to be full of the Spirit, not just getting by, not just doing the Christian routine, but people could tell the Spirit of God was in them, bearing fruit, and wise, full of wisdom. And the way that we receive wisdom is by the Spirit and His Word, and by mentoring from others. If you don't like that word, you can call it discipleship, but it is training others. And in particular, what I'm talking about here is training others for leadership. Training others to lead ministries. If the Lord puts on your heart a ministry to do in this church, and you feel like, going back to the first point, that over and over He's bringing something to your mind, and it may be a ministry that's being birthed in your heart, ask Him who you're going to partner with. Ask Him who's going to come alongside of you, who you should bring alongside of you to help do that work so that it's 2x2 ministry, if at all possible. In your notes, ministry, as much as we've been talking about it this morning, ministry is not the fuel of the church. I'm going to put a period there for a moment. Ministry is not the fuel of the church. Here's what I mean. The church doesn't run on its ministry. Sometimes we get in that mindset. We get the second commandment above the first commandment. We think we need to emphasize our ministry to one another, our love for one another. If we're going to be an active church, a vibrant church, if we're going to grow, we got to have ministries. We got to do ministry. Ministry is what's going to cause us to grow. Ministry is what's going to cause us to be active in the community. Ministry is not the fuel. What's the fuel? Prayer. Prayer's the fuel. Prayer fuels everything. That's why if you come to Rely, we say it over and over. Prayer is the furnace of everything we're doing in the church. It's where the fire is started. It's where it's where the fire increases for the church. It's us praying. When the apostles said, it's not right for us to give up preaching the Word of God to serve tables, they're not saying, no, we're up here doing this really important work. You're going to be down here doing this other menial work. That's not the picture. They didn't mean they were never going to serve tables. They served tables. They didn't mean they were the only ones going to preach the Word, because that's the whole point. We're to go be witnesses for Jesus, all of us. But there is a concept of primary ministry. There is a concept of what we are primarily called to do. And we can't lose sight of what we're primarily called to do in the church. And the apostles knew their primary calling was to pray and minister the Word to people. You look at verse 4. After they gave the instructions to choose these leaders, they said, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. We're going to keep praying, devote ourselves to prayer. That's going to be our primary ministry. And we're going to focus on preaching and sharing and ministering the Word to others. And ministry is going to be led in the church, the serving of people and their practical needs by other leaders. Ministry is not the fuel of the church. There must be those who are devoted to the service of prayer. There must be those who are devoted to the service of prayer. I do believe this is a model for pastors. As the church grows, we're going to see elders being established in the churches. Sorry, my eye's falling out. We're going to see the pattern of elders being established in the churches. And I do believe the primary responsibility of shepherds, of elders, it's to pray and minister the Word. That doesn't mean we don't wait tables. It doesn't mean we don't lead ministries and serve. But we need that to primarily lead. And I'll tell you, that's hard. I'll go back to what I said earlier. That's hard for me at times. As I've been growing in prayer and growing in trying to pray more for the church and put more emphasis on that, I have found I've had less time to do other things, including just reaching out to people. And I get those thoughts in my head sometimes. If I don't text everybody this week, they're all going to think I hate them and I don't love them and I don't care about them. And I have to kind of wrestle with that. But I've come to grow and grow in my knowledge and belief that no, we must pray. And I will say to you, I want you to know, I have a list of every person, every family that belongs in this church. And when a visitor comes in, if I can learn their name, I add them to that list. And every week, we're praying on that list and praying for the people in this church and praying for the ministries of this church. Not just myself, but Kevin and Sam. But I also believe that the Lord calls other people to a primary service of prayer. Right after my mom passed away, I introduced to all of you, introduced to the church, a concept of us having a ministry that was an intercessor's ministry. And I've had some questions. Well, we already had a prayer team. Why don't we have an intercessor's team? And in my view, the prayer team is really important because we pray for prayer requests. People send request in. They know they can go to the prayer team and they can post and they can receive prayer for their what's going on in their life. And people do that. And that's an important ministry to one another. But my view of intercessors was what I saw in my mom. A person who sees that the Lord has called them to pray and pray for the church. And they're not always or even primarily reacting to prayer requests. Every day they're getting up and they're seeking the Lord. What should I pray for my church today? Who should I pray for in the church today? What should I pray for my church today? See, I want this team of intercessors to hear from the Lord and pray. And I believe that's the fuel. Our times of corporate prayer and having a group of intercessors, that I picture it like pillars holding up a structure. They're building up the church and holding up the church in their prayers. And we have a small group that does that. And we're learning. We're learning what it means to intercede and to pray. But I wanted to present it to you again today to say there is an opportunity there. If that interests you, if that stirs you, today or weeks from now, that the Lord might have you in a ministry of praying and interceding for the church and listening for the voice of God and praying for the church based on what you hear, I believe it is a critical ministry. And it is one that I want to see an increase in. And I pray for an increase in. Very behind the scenes, but very critical for us. Because ministry is not the fuel. Prayer is. And the ministries that we're talking about today are going to be fueled by prayer.